let's talk about the use case first, okay, which is the most important thing. Let's say, for example, that we want to... please don't touch the mouse or else I can't write, because you will be moving the mouse. Okay, let's say that we want to do all Apache sites, all of them, okay, with one forest instance. Okay, I think this is a good use case because we would not want something like 40 forest instances to be live just to create all the sites. So it must be one instance. Now, all of these will have multiple source locations and multiple, you could say, views, right? Multiple skins, okay. And these two things, are things that we cannot do in a single forest instance now. And another use case would be that of having subsites, right? Having a single site that has subsite underneath that can be customized, like Jakarta, for example. So we want to have Apache sites with one instance of forest running. And here we would have instance config file. I don't know what's in there, but it's a config file for this forest instance, right? That points to different configurations. This is all high level, of course, that I'm talking about. Then we'll have to understand what it means from a lower perspective, an implementation perspective. And here we would have, for example, Apache.org, would have Jakarta, XML, forest, okay? And these would have their subsites. So these would have their own configurations. So we would have commons, we would have IO, we would have lang, which are part of commons actually. So, okay. Now we don't want to move. We're just talking about configurations here. Sorry, I always forget that we're always talking about configurations, right? We're not talking about moving content. So, if we have a forest instance, that has to render these sites, right? Render these sites, not move source around. So let's say that a project like Forest, okay, wants to this instance to render his own site. Okay, so we would just need to reference this configuration file that's in the Forest repository, and the system would get it from SVN via the location map, right, and render it. And so on the Forest instance, we only have the config file. And the sources are somewhere else. And this way, it becomes very easy to deploy Forest because we would have one WAR file that's good for everybody because you just put it in, you start it, and then you can have, for example, an admin interface. You go in and say, okay, add this to the configuration. And it starts rendering that site, and it's getting it from somewhere. This is what I would like Forest to do, because in this way, we are able to make it easy to be deployable, manageable, etc. This is what it was when I talk about configuration. This is what I mean.
All right. The two things that you've written in red on the top left there: multiple locations, multiple views.
Yeah.
Multiple locations. I can see that some people are using DAISY, SVN, Wiki, whatever. So that's no problem, and I think we have the potential to solve that problem with our input plugins, especially now that we have the location map. So I don't see an issue there. multiple views, are we talking views as in forest views, or are we talking different publications?
No, no, I'm talking about... let's put it this way. Multiple, let's call it, yeah, it is views, it's appearances.
So in that case, we well, that's views plus
levers, isn't it? We could call it multiple skins. I mean,
views plus view plus themes.
Yeah, I did it. I put two of them. Well, in fact, it's multiple configurations. I mean, to configure forest, you have to say where the sources are, what skin you want to use, what themes. All of this is our configuration that we have not yet decided how to write. Okay, but it should be able to be referenced from one project to another, and be used in a way like this. So it's very high level, I know, but this is the main concept.
So what it looks like you've got there is your forest instance config file.
Yes, that tells you, that tells forest the how it has to be, how it has to run. Like, for example, I don't know it. I don't know exactly what should go in there now. Probably nothing. Probably it's just the configuration of the web app. Okay.
Well, would it not be a pointer to all the?
It would be a pointer, probably to, maybe, yeah, so or to a file that has all of them, something like that.
It's kind of like HTTP. It's a virtual server section of HTTP conf, isn't it?
It's HTTP conf, something like that.
And then below that, they're either. Configuration files for an actual site with content in it, or it's an extension to the instance config, in which case it becomes its own instance config. So where we've got Jakarta, which has its own subsite. Mm-hmm. So we need a recursive.
Not only has subsite, but it has its own content, because Jakarta has the Jakarta content and the subsites, right? And the subsites would want to use the Jakarta config as default one. It's not trivial, of course, but anyway, the inside this config file, we only have the link to the first ones. Then these themselves will link to the other ones, and it should be possible to maybe if you point to this one here, right? It should be able to render this one, comments, and everything else without ones above. That's why I've always talked about making each site unit making the configuration all in the site, right? Nothing in forestconf. Forestconf is general. Skinconf is not general, so it can be put. Forestconf is general, so I would not want that, because forestconf is only here. Right?
So forestconf is in forest properties.
Yeah, but when it started. Forest properties are used basically here, for instance.
Where?
The top.
Here, for instance.
All
right. Right. They're used there, even if they're in, even if we find them in the site, but we use it for instance, because once you fire it up, then it's finished.
What keeps you from having one forest conf file and several forest properties files for each of your instances? Because basically forest properties defines everything that you mentioned, only that it's at the moment only working on a file directory level and not on a URL level of what you probably need.
Yeah. The question is, how would we want the users to define this configuration? And this is linked to the other thing that we were talking about, which is the one you said, the content directory, how we want it structured. Now, at this moment, we have sort of a mess, because we have... It's my fault, because I was the one who was very eager to do a lot of subdirectories, so it's all deep down, because it's my fault, so... Okay.
Next time we do a release, you have to do the job these two did.
Okay, so we have...
But it was necessary at that stage, because we were copying raw content. Mm.
Don't try to be too gentle with me. We have forest properties. right, than what we have.
I remember I was going to ask that same question. Can you bring up forest prophecies? Can you bring up forest prophecies?
Well, let's look at...
But I was just thinking that. Is there anything in forest prophecies that needs to stay there?
Well, it's a good plug-in for separate projects, but that could go in a different config file.
Yeah, the my problem with forest properties
okay,
is always
you go forest properties,
yeah.
Project.
Oh, we've got them on
scheme.
Screen now.
So we have the project name forest. I mean,
well,
we don't need this.
Project,
this, yeah, but this can go because I mean the project name. Why is it needed to make that web app? But we don't do it anymore because we have a generic app web app for everything. So this is not needed anymore. The skin, right, has to be instead in the main config file because it becomes views. In the project config files. The xdocs tier, raw content, all this stuff is gone, right?
Yeah.
The book tracking URL is going to be a view.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure about the
issues, same thing. And the plugins, this is the list of plugins. This is the only thing that has to be put somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, just you were expressing a concern about the skin. So we'll go back to that.
I use the project skin. I mean, if I want a project, just use it in the skin. That's where I actually...
Yes, but we have to move that somewhere else.
Views will create a new destination.
So from this, we will have to take out the skin.
We're not removing that need.
Skin to use, I mean something that tells us the skin to use, and something that tells us the plugins. This is the information that we have to retain. Then, we have skin comp.
Wait, the xdoc directory, which is the actual location for...
That's
the
location map.
The location map now, or will be.
Alright.
And, okay, so that's correct. It should go into the location map.
Alright. So it's on the thing, yeah.
That's right. Then we have the skin conf stuff, right? And here we have a contract, a contract, a contract, a contract, a contract. All these are contracts, right? These are all contracts. Group URL, host URL. Oh, stop it. All of these are contracts. Trail, heading.
No, I haven't done anything. Because I need to restart.
Footer, see color, page numbering format, page. All these, thank you very much, are that fucking extraterrestrial stuff.
Yeah,
you know, if they will come and break our asses, it's your fault. Okay.
Can you start again?
No.
No, I mean my client or connect to my.
You would like to, huh?
My IP because.
129
dot
129 is 143
dot
213 dot 213.
So you're on a different network to the others.
Yeah, actually I am.
So
you
might be on the
network.
Yeah.
And there? Yeah. And can see my dog? No? Okay, good. And then the credits. All these. Oh, okay. Wait a second. Add new client. Dot. I don't remember all of it.
213.
9. 143213218. What we should do while we're sorting this out is figure out a way of recording a video scan thing, and then we can use that for the recording.
Yeah.
I'm having some problems.
Oh, I didn't tell you that sound recording worked quite well.
Oh, did it? Oh, excellent.
It blocked.
Yeah.
Failed to connect. Can you remember? It's 218, the last one?
Yeah. 213 or 218.
It doesn't work. 129, 143, 213, 218.
He's
129, 143, 213,
218. Are you in listen mode?
Yes. I thought I was. That again.
No, double clicking on there doesn't put you in listen mode. You have to do it from command line.
No,
does it?
Try it again. Shall I try?
I did. I'm actually supposed to be listening.
129, 143, 213, 218.
No,
Nope.
Okay, I'll look across the screen.
Probably it's because I had a maximum number of clients defined, and after he went down, I went over there. Yeah. Anyway, so all of these, the skin conf, has correctly had only skin things, because now all of these will go into views. So we can see that it was correct with the, we haven't put things that were not the skin in it.
So we can that all goes to views, so we get rid of it.
Yes.
It's only the CSS stuff that doesn't go in views, and they go in whatever becomes themes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So then we have skinconf.xml that goes to views and themes.
And then we have a new config, which is defining the sites that we've got. It's this, the top config one that you have, the forest instance config.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually need that, you could have those properties.
We can use the location map to find them. Why not?
No, if you put several forest properties, they could have the information what site.
There's a problem with forest properties, and I would like to use this opportunity to get rid of it. The problem is that forest properties, you have to restart the server if you change the forest properties.
Exactly.
If you're doing multiple sites, you can't do that.
Exactly. That's the reason why I agree with you.
Now, what we could do is it possible for the web app to retrieve, no, it's, yeah it is, because we're only deploying virtual servers, essentially, aren't we? So we can insert a virtual server in a running instance of Jetty or Apache or whatever we're running.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can put the location of those instance configuration files in the location map.
Yes.
And have Forest Core resolve its own configuration location.
Yes.
So we don't actually need a configuration file, we just really reuse the location map.
Well, we need to point to where the initial configurations are,
which would be in the location map. So that is the configuration.
Because I was thinking of using a different configuration. I mean, I was not thinking of putting this on the server. This is not going to go on the server. This all these stuff are only for each project, for each publication instance, right? Mm-hmm. On the server, we'll just have a file that says, okay, this project is on SVN, forest, whatever. Just that. So the forest, this structure is not going to be on the server. It's just going to be for each project
I want to run. Yeah, what I was saying is, if say we have a file called forest properties.xml, which is defining where these sites are.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only point. Yeah, and
then the location of that can just be pointed to in the location map. So it can then be stored locally within Jakarta.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah?
Okay.
Yes. Exactly. You're right. That's what I meant.
Right.
Okay.
On my right, everything can be fixed with views. On my left, everything can be fixed with location.
I've got a problem in a minute with plugins. It can't be solved with location maps or views.
Are you sure?
I can't say.
Well, then we'll have Cocoon blocks that will solve everything else. Okay, so then we have the status file,
actually,
which...
No, you're right, that's the solution. So there we go. We've got the triad going now.
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, all the three things. Okay, then the status file, which I don't know who's that guy that did this. He's a terrible person.
That was you, then, again.
Yes, that was me again.
Now that you talk about the status file, actually, I found a rule always very nice, half on the root of our project.
Thank you.
No, I always found it very nice, mm-hmm. like having the status file, so
yeah,
you're able just to modify.
Actually, that's what I thought too when I did it, because before, the status file was in source docs to do, right? But the problem with the status file, it's that it's one file. So people just use it to put in changes, nothing else, right? Because that's what they used to do. Probably it could be better, probably, to make a plugin that uses a directory, which is status directory, and in it you have to-dos,
no,
changes.
I don't want to plug in.
I don't want
because I'm one of the laziest guys that I really don't use it. I think the last time I used it, I can tell you
that it's easier to open a separate to-do file than having to scroll down to the to-do section.
Yeah.
So if you're lazy, it's easier.
It is. Or even extract it from my SVN commit message. That would be the perfect way.
There is discussions about that, and apparently we can do that.
The reason I created the project info file is because one of my old clients wanted to do exactly that, created from SVN, and they have a very structured way of writing the comments, and it works that way. But the issue of where status XML is stored is irrelevant, because location map means you can put it anywhere. Okay, so I prefer it where it is, but that's because of the editing. But other people want it in root, so fine, but location map allows you to change that on a per site basis.
It makes sure that you modify the status and then you try to do the commit from the beginning, you will see if there is actually you trying to commit something else, or if you propose to commit something else. I don't know if you will see that problem.
I think it depends on the processes you at each individual users. I always make a habit of committing status XML separately from my other commits, because then I know I've done it. I see two commits going and I say, right, I've done the status for that, I remember. Whereas if I put it in with all the others, I often forget. But that's just my working process. I'd never say that anybody else should do it the same way.
You don't do it for every commit, though, do you? You don't do it for every commit. Put something in there.
I intend to.
But just the major.
Oh, no, sorry, for every commit. No, for major commits. Yeah. That's right.
So, just to be clear on that, we have status at the moment used as a status tracking for Forest as a system, right?
Yeah.
As the program. But if you have a customer site, they would use status for tracking changes to their site, right?
For their project.
If they felt it's always on the project thing.
But it's now a plugin, so you know, anybody can choose to use it or not use it.
But that means that you would have different locations for it, because if it was to track changes on the site, it should be within the site.
Yes, that's true. Mm. That's true.
But with a location map, put it anyway.
Now,
so that's not really a configuration file anyway, that's a content file.
One problem I have with the status is that I now have four plugins and I have the main forest status. So if I change something on Root, where to put it? Like I said, I have four plugins that are dependent on views, and where have to
that put is a problem, because we're not seeing on the top level changes for that site. We're not seeing all the changes in the plugins.
Well, that was on my mental Jira. Another comment we made earlier that none of us are using Jira enough. But on my mental to-do list is to extend the project info plugin to pull in status from plugins or other status files.
The other thing that is right coming into that is the documentation. I'm writing now documentation in four different plugins, but I really need it in one place. So that is actually the same with status. So what I really wanted to have is I'm writing in one place only. So I would prefer to just to have one status.
Yours is an unusual case with these plugins, because
we have this case, so it may come in the future as well.
No, it's a case that shouldn't exist. The internal plugins generally, again we talked about this briefly last night, the internal plugins generally should always end up finding a way into core. Ones we build, people external, that's a different thing, they're extending core. But the ones we build for Forest itself, I think ultimately will always end up in core. Something like IMS Manifest will never end up in core because it's a unique use case. If we put your internal plugin into core, we remove the dependencies between the plugins, which means any documentation that you've got in remaining plugins fits in there. So your contracts for your XHTML plugin should be documented in the XHTML plugin, because they're only useful if you have that plugin.
Anyway, with blocks, we would be able to make the view system a block without making it a plugin, because a plugin is a block, it will be a block with a specific contract.
Internal plugins could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about input and output. I think they're different cases.
Yeah, but they do have a con. They are going to be blocks with the contract. I mean, there's something that that gives you an information at a certain URL, so that's a block.
Well, I'll see.
That's the definition of because a block is something that gives you a service, and this service can be a Java interface, which with the implementation of course is underneath, but you get an interface, or you could get I don't know if exactly if you get a sitemap or resources also. So you could use that as you have those things on a file system, but you reference a block. So instead of saying file sitemap, you say block. So, and the block also says that it adheres to a contract. So we will say that import plugins will have to adhere to this contract, so that they will have to give us a certain type of information and a certain URL, and so that will be the specification of those plugins.
Well, certainly with the internal plugin, if you move the internal plugin into core, all that documentation goes into should be in core. And the HTML, whether it's a block or actually in core, it's done in implementation detail. The documentation still stays in the same place. Same with your status. All your status that would go into your internal plugin as it is now would go into the core status.
Yeah, but like I said, because right now I'm maintaining 4, it's like I change something there, I change something there, and then more or less have to then sync
that's
all
because you've got the dependencies
status
between the plugin, and we shouldn't have those dependencies. The only reason you have the dependencies is because you still have an internal plugin which is forcing you to make those dependencies. But they're all your dependencies go through internally. If you remember when we originally designed the plugins, we said, well, we can avoid dependencies by making everything on the input and output stages dependent on something in core and only dependent on something. So you solve all those problems as soon as you get your internal plugin into core, or as a plugin, as a block that goes into core either way.
Okay, so then what we have still is a sitemap. The sitemap is something that, if we want to go dynamic, we will not be able to do as we do now. It will all the extra processing that has to be done.
It's a project sitemap.
Yes.
Project.
Yes. This sitemap will have to become a block in itself to be able to be loaded dynamically by Cocoon.
So each site.
Because of course it has to be live. So you have to be able to say, okay, add this site to our first instance. You'll have to go to the configuration, find out that some blocks are needed, dynamically load them and activate them, right? And this can be done only using the blocks, not using a sitemap like this, which has to be, with which you have to restart the system. So it'll have to become some sort of internal plugin, let's say.
Why do you restart the system?
Yeah, what's for sitemap?
I don't restart the system when I edit a project sitemap or a plugin sitemap.
Yeah.
The only time I need to restart the system is when I edit the core forest sitemap. It depends how you add the plugin. If you
go to the that's
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 that's that's yeah. You are a new
yeah,
driver, you work. Have to restart
yeah,
the whole
that,
thing
that
because
you work.
Have to
yeah,
create this temporary directory on
that's right. And that's the issue that will be solved by blocks that I said can't
yeah.
be solved by plugins.
That's
a different issue from the one I'm saying here. Adding a plugin, yes, but you don't you don't add a plugin via the site project sitemap though.
Yeah. No, but you yes, but the project sitemap is basically it's a site-specific plugin, basically. The project
yeah,
sitemap.
Once it's there,
but
I can edit it without
yeah,
restarting.
Of course, but
so
I'm talking about telling the live instance of Forest that we have a new project.
Oh, of course. Yes. So we're deploying a new site.
Right. Deploying.
Right.
So
project.
It will have
yes.
to dynamically get that information and load it live
got
and
it.
Activate it. Okay. And to do that, we have to have a reference to a block or to blocks instead of this thing here.
So each site is now a block.
Each site can have one or more blocks that it needs to render itself. I mean, of
so
course
that would be blocks, and the other blocks that it needs to render itself would be what we're currently calling plugins.
Yes, so basically this thing will become another plugin. Right. And that will also make it easier to reuse between sites eventually.
Yeah, that solves the problem that I mentioned earlier on, which is one you just highlighted, that we currently have to restart because of the hack that's there for putting the plugins that we currently have to restart.
Right. But then we're not going to be able to wait. Then we have classes, of course, will not be here because they will be in the block. The conf, I don't know yet this what we're going to do with this because it's command line stuff. I think I'll leave it a bit behind for now.
That's only relevant for generating static content.
Yes, so I'd leave it a bit behind now.
Are you talking about CLI?
Yeah, I think
there's hardly anything in there that gets used. A lot of it actually doesn't seem to work.
I'd like to see us getting rid of that and putting it in Forest Bot.
There's only one thing that I think operates, that's the excludes and includes. And even they are a little bit broken.
It seems like it, yeah, that's what I was going to.
Okay.
Forest Bot would be the obvious place for that sort of
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Then we have resources. We want to get rid of resources, of course. I did that too. Okay. Because when I started Forest, I tried to structure everything in a way that you had content, style, all separated, and I took as a reference the thing they had before, and so. That's why we had resources. Then we decided that everything could go in a single place, and we had to keep that for backward compatibility. But unfortunately, we didn't remove it for a long time from the fresh site, so people continued using it. Also, because they were used to do that with the old cocoon.
But wouldn't it make sense to have both? To keep the resources for stuff that is not attached to individual files or directories?
Yes. This is in part correct because. With the location map, you can specify anything. What I'm talking about is the default layout that we're doing with Fresh Site.
Yeah.
And for the default location, I would prefer to keep a single place because it's the easiest way and the way that usually is done for the small things when you start. Then when you get bigger, you will start to customize, but then I don't want people to say, okay, that is where I have to put the images. Because that's what's happening. If you put resources, they say, okay, I have to put the images there. And people will start saying to the list, where did I put the images? I put them there, here they don't work, here they work.
Yeah.
So
I don't actually, I found this a problem with Forest. We sometimes, when people, I saw these questions, I'm like, well, I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not the only one. I've been here since day one.
And that's why one would have to talk about this. We need to have one document that actually tells how to use Forest. It's not just for the users, it's for ourselves as well. So then we know when it's right and when it's not, because it's so easy just to break that. I mean, you're just making some changes and
we did have a document that did that once. Unfortunately, it still says the same thing as it always says. It's been edited along the line and we've taken out the downright lies, but we haven't put in the new way of doing things in many places.
Which wasn't clear. Which wasn't clear because we were still talking about what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, so that has to be an output of this restructuring, I think. It would be great to throw away all the docs that we've got, every single bit of it. I don't mean throw it in the bin and never look at it again, but I mean strip the whole documentation system and rebuild
like
it as we build it.
Actually define what we want Forest to do for us.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is a big job, but as part of this, writing up this stuff, for example, for the list to agree with, could be the start of that sort of document.
But we love to talk and not to do anything.
Not talk at all.
Okay.
Let's just send source another there.
Okay, then all this stuff we have here will have to become something like this, right? We will have the project name. Let's use Alpha, make an example for the Apache site we're doing. So project name, inside there we will have, for example, forest.xml and a content directory. That's all. This file will contain what we said before. It will contain the skin to use, will contain the plugins to use, it will contain the location map place,
all in content?
And what?
That would be all in content?
Yes.
You mean content directly?
Yeah.
The skin to use. No, the skin to use is external. Yes. Okay, that's a good point. I was talking about him before, and I'm not yet sure about that, actually. I'll finish this and then I'll put on that part. Something about the views and the themes, right? And that's so all this stuff, right? All the pointers to this stuff will be there. So, in here we'll have a pointer to location map.
I'm not sure about that. Since the location map is defining where everything is, why have another file that is just a set of pointers to something? Don't we just need...
No, because otherwise you would always stick with one name for the location map.
Yes.
And this way you can change the... You can add more location map, you can change the name of the location map.
Yes.
What you're talking would be, for example, possible if you use default view. You know? Where you have like one name that is responsible for that.
I'm not convinced that we need two places where you can define the location of things. Would it not be better to have...
No, this is not the location map.
Just pointed at the location map. And then the location map resolves everything else that Forest needs to work.
Because the location... I understand what you mean.
Right, but the problem... For me, the problem would be I would have to hook there as well, the view stuff. It has to go in Forest XML, I guess.
Why?
Because I need to define which default template I use. Because you can change the names of the default.
Okay, so there are a few things that we need to go in there, which would be the names of files, but it wouldn't necessarily be the location.
No.
So it's hints, it's not pointers.
Yeah. Alright.
It's location. Got them,
professor.
Okay, I understand.
No, it's alright. Understand. You're right. This would take us one day in writing email to just figure out that it's hints and not pointers. We should have like one
one month.
The problem is how are we going to say where the location map is? Right, because we said that, or maybe we can just point to the location map.
Extend the location map syntax so that the location map is Forest XML.
Yeah.
And then we can have a header section within there.
Because we just say that our contract is that, okay, the location map has to give... Yeah, but how about the list of plugins?
Now that's the hard one that I hinted at earlier that I don't know how to solve. There's two problems with the plugins. One is where do you put the lists that are used? And the other is how to dynamically deploy them. And I keep hearing Blocks will do that for us.
Yeah, but I think that...
If that's the case, can't the list of plugins go into this new section within the location map configuration?
I wouldn't do that, because the location map gives you the location. If you start using it for configuration, I guess it will... confused. I think that people are accustomed to having a configuration file, an apache.conf, right? And then if they do mod rewriting, they will have the mod rewrite file.
It does make sense, actually, because location map, if you think about where it would go in the directory structure, Forest XML would be in the root, whereas location map should be next to the content.
Which is...
next to any local content.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
And then we would have, of course, the tabs in the site, but those would be plugins.
Yeah.
And views. So basically, this would be a base Forest would be something like this, quite simple. So you have Forest XML file and the content, which doesn't necessarily have to be in content, of course. I mean,
that has to be at least a location map that tells us where the content would be, so that would be insight, okay.
But I don't know, maybe we'd have the location map in here. here we would have probably location map .xml, site .xml, tabs. I'm still writing tabs, but I don't know if all this stuff is in here.
Yeah, we were talking about site and tabs on the train actually, on the way up here, and following on for what Ferdinand was saying last night. He was explaining to me this intermediate format, and we were discussing that the link map is almost what we need. So what we were thinking might be a good idea is, as you just said, make site XML, tabs XML, an input plugin, and convert in the input plugin into the link map, and just use the link map internally to give us that separation. Which would mean that what you've written there is exactly right for these legacy sites.
Okay, so this would be the overview of the configuration.
With that, it's just two different issues. I mean, first we need to find out exactly what we want. On my head is, okay, on one side we want to have all the possible links or nodes within your site, and then a different view of that, of those nodes. Okay, let me explain you. You have a bunch of XML files, yes? And you want, this is, you can see that just links with the data, just data. And then it depends where actually you are on your side. You want to see a view of that map, yeah? Mm-hmm. But a different view depending on your situation, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I see it is you go site.xml as the data, and then the creation of a view is something else, yes? Yeah. So we always can automize the way that we create this site.xml, but then we have to find a way just to define on how to create these views.
Yeah, that's what Ferdinand was saying on the train this morning, and what he was
now there's
we
one.
We have a new internal format, which is all the definition of all those nodes, which will be an extension of the current link map.
Yes. Now that I've outlined this thing, I would like to insert another thing and then connect it to this one, which is about our processing. How do you call that? The processing flow, right?
Just before you go, what have you settled as the structure? Because I was following you back and forth.
The structure is simply a directory with all the files.
Okay, so we have this forest XML as the central configuration,
which is in the base.
Which is extended. Well,
it could be anywhere, but with our fresh site, we'll put in the base. It could also be inside and reference files. It could also be somewhere else. I mean, it just references all this informations. And then we have, as a default fresh site, a single directory with everything. Except that there is one problem with views. We have not yet said where we're going to put the views. And before that, I would like to look at the flow of the information.
So far, you would have a content directory that has everything, skins, view definitions, and all that.
No, it will not have any. Yes.
So far,
not discussed that yet.
Okay. And this forest XML is a location map plus forest.
No, we decided that wasn't a good idea.
No. We
so
decided.
What is forest XML?
Here,
forest
it connects the.
Forest XML is a set of points, it's not a set of things.
So it will point to the location map, it will tell which plugins there are, it will say somewhere how to get the view templates, how to apply them, and which theme to use. Somehow, of course, this is very generic.
The bits that we can't get rid of out of forest properties and skin comp. Essentially go into forest XML.
And this thing here is actually this. These here are exactly those files.
I can hardly see this.
Most of our machines aren't seeing what's going on anymore.
Basically, it's these. These files are those forest.xml files.
Where are you drawing?
Yeah, it looks like that one stopped.
Do you have a Skype on your machine?
Doesn't work anymore?
No, I think so.
No.
could all just congregate around it. Okay.
It fucked up?
Yeah, mine went ages ago.
Too bad. Okay, come here. The good thing about this is that I'm going to save this and we'll have it.
Yeah. I was waiting for that to... Well, you can mail around that thing so we can...
Okay. I was saying all these files, right, will be that config file. Somehow we'll have to point to the next one. So there's also that part in there. Signal. Ah, oh, now I understand the connection to the net is becoming slow.
Ah, right.
Now everybody
and the Cocoon people downloading their documentation.
Their own documentation.
Well, they've just messed up head, haven't they? So none of them got a working version of Cocoon anymore.
Alright, if he there's a bottle of whiskey. No, in the table. There's a coffee in the
It's a bit early for that.
Today. It's really the breakfast for champions.
What we have now is, in my head, is something like we would have do the location, okay, of the source. Now this is the first phase, the location of the source. Then, after the location, we
so
do
this
the.
What were we
this
doing
is the
here?
Processing.
It's a processing of a single request.
Yeah.
Right.
Location of the source, then we have input plugin that converts it to our form. So here we have the format as is in the source. Then from the input plugin we have
we've now got an xdoc, so we're doing our
yes, but we have the internal plugins. Output, right, plugins, then somehow we'll have a theming. Okay, what happens is that with one request we have one source, and this is not, with Fuse it's not going to be like this.
No.
With Fuse we have the location, we should have the location of the template.
Yeah.
So if I ask index, for example, if I ask for index dot HTML, it would have to look for index dot view or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It will not look for the source file.
Yeah.
And this thing here then will drive everything. It will locate. Basically, what it will do is the thing that he showed yesterday, the dispatching.
Yeah.
So
we'll get a series of these.
We'll get basically get a series of these.
To output plugins,
yeah.
Not including the theme.
Yeah. So we here it will integrate a lot of stuff inside the structure, and all of these.
Can I interrupt with a question?
Yes.
The way Torsten has set it up now, looking for this index FB file, is it?
Yeah.
It's percolating up, like it's looking for a file of that name, of the requested file, and then it looks for the default one.
Yeah, first of all, it looks for index.fv. If it doesn't find that, it looks for default.fv in the same directory
right.
as the source file. So the current thing is it looks for the source first, finds where the source is, and then looks below it.
Now, while I see that this is very easy to handle and very nice in the beginning, I would like to question that and wonder if it wouldn't make more sense to have a pattern matching approach there.
Yes.
Because
yes,
otherwise, if you use the same view definition in several directories, you have redundancy.
Yes, I understand.
Your resolving of your
view files at the moment for something like Index SV. You've just created a pattern matching using the location map on it, so you can change the name. Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, but the point is that now it follows the tree. It could also be based on the dog tag,
which
right?
is what we raised last
and
night.
And anything yeah. else? I mean, we should be able to specify apply this view on these types of files. So it's a source of it's a kind of location. It's probably with the location map you could do it.
I thought about connecting it directly into the site XML to define there.
No.
There was just a thought. Let me finish why, because there you could have your configuration for everything, you know. You can even define in your skin and your site form XML the dog types which
yeah, but you don't want to put it in there because that would have to be separate. It's something that could also not be there, so you shouldn't rely on that. It should be something like the location map. Location map gives you the location of the files. This should be something that tells you, okay, apply this pattern to the source space. So apply this pattern of views to the source space. So you could say, for example, okay, all the RSS files use this view, except these other files in this directory use this other view.
Well, as much as I agree with what you said, why that shouldn't be done, it would certainly be much easier from the user point of view to define the site XML and the views used there.
Depends on who the user is.
Well, if you go into a technical user, that's what I was heading for.
I think that
can we have an alternative?
Well, I think that probably going per directory is okay.
Couldn't we just have these two alternatives? That is, technical users can use a sitemap approach and pattern matching to find their views if they want to. Non-technical users could use the extended site XML.
I'll ask your point in a moment. It's
recognizing me. I was going to start with to send to Tim Larson. You will do it for me, yeah? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. If somebody creates a plugin that has single site XML schema that allows you to do that.
I think that for that, probably the easiest thing is to use per directory. So if somebody wants to do it, he just like an HDSS file, puts this new file in the directory, and it could be.
Yeah, the problem with the directory, of course, is that if you're using CMS as your editing environment, you can't do that because you haven't got directory where it's stored. Right, if Lenya doesn't, well, I don't know about Lenya, it's Big Black Daisy, certainly. There is no concept of folders within Daisy. Everything's just thrown into the same pot, and you use tags to find the information that you want. So there is no structure within the storage of the documents. The structure is implied from the navigation structure that you define, which is exactly what Torsten is describing here. So that's why I said yes if somebody creates a plugin, because in order to do that within Daisy, I would have to create a plugin to enable what you're saying to happen. But if we think about the current thing, that where it's you put it in the Xdoc folder and that's the way it goes, it makes much more sense to put it in the directory. So it does depend on your user and your use case a great deal, I think. If you're using the directory structure like we have now, it's easier, more maintainable to put a file into the subdirectory to use that one than it is to go and edit a different file for it. You'd have to edit the file, the site XML file, and you would have to edit the view definition. So it's two files to edit, whereas if you just drop it into the folder, there's only one file to edit.
Yeah, but Daisy doesn't have folders.
But if Daisy doesn't have folders, you don't have that option, therefore you would have to create the kind of input plugin that you're talking about.
No. You can just create dummy dirs in the Xdoc.
Well, you could do. That's another alternative. Yeah,
that's I've done with the
Xdoc. Yeah, you could do. That's right. He asked a specific question about.
The S5 plugin,
for example. Torsten asked a specific question about a particular user who wanted to do it in the site XML file. So he's saying, yes, we could do. You're right. You could create a dummy structure. That would be another way of solving the Daisy problem. But yes, doing it this way, you could do it if you created a plugin.
Do you know Ross?
No, we haven't met. Hi, Gregor.
Hey, that's fine. Hi. Nicola.
Hey. So, Are we in agreement that it's not a good idea to have this, to continue the structure that Tosner started now with putting the view definitions into the directories themselves?
I don't say we'll
get
redundant. No, I think we're in agreement that there needs to be alternatives.
Well, one thing that we that I talked to him about yesterday thought is that once you have a location map, then you could put the views anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
But then the question comes, where should we put it by default?
Right, and in my view, putting it the way we're doing it now is inviting inexperienced users to create a maintenance problem. Because they will have the redundancy, they will have the view definitions all over
the
place.
The vast majority of users will not write different views for different pages. They will write one view and use it for every page. What might happen is they write different views for different doc types. With the doc types, you can put them anywhere, it doesn't matter because we're looking up the source to decide
what I'm thinking as a use case is this. The user downloads the fresh site, okay? We already give him default views for the basic doc types, okay? Mm-hmm. So he knows that when he writes an RSS file, he gets something shown. When he does documents, he sees something. And what he will have to do is customize it. And I believe that he will want to start customizing per page. That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he will have the special page, like we have, for example, for the download, okay, that he will want to customize.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, he will just write a view beside the file and put the stuff in. And he knows that if he puts the view beside the file, Forrest will use that. That's what he will understand. Will
actually,
use that.
I think this is
then
quite
once he's starting,
logical, you know?
Then
oh,
quite
it
logical.
Is.
That,
yeah.
that
yeah.
when
yeah.
he starts doing more than one, he will start to say, okay, but there's a pattern. How can I unify them? And he will, and he could do it. He cannot do it. But that's his problem.
Yeah.
I don't know because I'm afraid that you do the same error I did there, doing all that structure. I tried to make it difficult for people to make errors, but by doing that, I made it difficult for people to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
especially yours.
I know. That's what happened because I wanted to structure it so much, and then it becomes so rigid that we had this this problem. Now we have a structure we don't need. We don't know, understand anymore what we needed.
Yeah, I think you both said we need this. You said that that will create a maintenance problem, and you said that's not a problem with Forest. If that's the case, if the user does
actually, I don't think that it's creating a maintenance problem.
Well, no. It's
so
the point is, it
could
create, and Ferdinand worded it quite carefully as for inexperienced users, we are creating a maintenance problem, and I think that's true. There is the danger of that. What we need to do, I don't think that we can design Forest. We have experience with somebody trying to design for it so that it isn't a maintenance problem and it's backfired on us. We don't want to make the same mistake again. So what we have to do is make sure our documentation stops people from making that.
And a very good example, websites like the Seed site is a different Seed site that are very clear.
We
examples.
Already have a second Seed site. I did one for this presentation.
Oh,
so
right.
And it has asked questions, fill in things.
Right.
But probably when a user becomes uses more Forest and wants to write the views, he will understand more of it. So probably his knowledge will grow and he will have less maintenance problems because he's growing with the knowledge.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope actually, because I want to make it a very low barrier to entry, very hackable.
Yeah.
Because we want more people using it, collaborating and
understanding. We're a framework, not a tool.
Yeah. So and this also gives the opportunity. Here, say it here, it's recorded, okay. The opportunity of saying, okay, you have Forest, you've used it, you like it, but you have maintenance problems. Okay, I'll solve it, you pay me, I'll come there and explain it to you.
That's
what
I was trying to say last night.
But okay, the way I see it, is a typical user, we just go and say, oh, use this tool, it is very easy to use, you go some content in XML, you just try it, just Forest it, put it, and then he said, oh, okay, I want to change some colors and changing. And then he will say, oh, for that specific page, I want to have a different view. And then he used the default view or whatever. You know, out of that, I mean, the person just creates more views. It's actually their problem. I don't see actually a maintenance problem because they're not gonna create files because they are boring. It's just they're creating because they feel they need it.
I think you're right. I think the important thing for us as the developers of Forest is not to try and accommodate every single user. If you get a client that you think will get themselves into a maintenance problem if they did that, then build them a plugin that does it the way you describe. But we won't build a plugin for it. We'll provide the framework which would enable you to build a plugin for your customer.
Yes.
And in the end, I would really what I want. It should end up in what I want to have to talk together, linear and forest, so all the maintainment problem would be a problem.
Well,
of
I agree with that, but I'm not willing to
forest
being timed because I agree with cooperation.
Yeah.
But you know, my clients use Daisy, so I'm not going to help you go.
I think they would be the same. The same use case, you would have to extend Daisy for it.
What we need to do is focus in the same way.
Yeah.
If your clients want Lenya, then we create plugins that support Lenya, and we'll reuse the content that I'm doing for Daisy, so that you can do your Lenya thing much faster, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Which is the same answer really for you. You create a plugin for what you need. And then we get.
I'm always looking at a different angle, which is copy and paste is very popular. And so, if you have something like that, if you have an example of that, people will use it.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with that. So, basically, what we're saying is that you have the default view definition and the root content, right?
Yeah.
The default, So.
And we have the individual ones, perhaps as examples for individual files. It's a malware and the doc type.
That's what we need to go on to next, because with this little diagram that he just drew.
Would it make sense to sort of have names for them that represent the doc type?
Well,
we don't really use doc types at the moment in Forest, to be honest.
We don't use them enough now.
No, because we use it. We bound them on URL specific calls, like the how to.
We've been moving things out into plugins, we've been starting to use doc types more and more. But there's still a lot needs to come out of
core
and
the detection,
source type action.
Headset a lot more too.
Yes, and that's what concerns me about this processing that was drawn. We currently have, I can't bring it back up on the screen because I don't know what's going on with this thing.
That's not.
Actually, he's coming back, so we'll discuss that in a minute.
I love you guys.
Can you bring up that?
Bring back this.
Somebody tried to enter.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought,
just
let's
blank.
Say, if enter.
Self-destruct is initiated.
Can you bring up that processing thing that you did just a moment?
Okay. Now that you. I didn't tell you that my password is suck my ass. I did.
You got that on tape.
Anyway,
I got to
change it.
You got it. We were just Torsten just asked the question about what about doc types. So we said so the default does the way we do with views, so in the directories and so on. But if we come to the doc type one, what we have on this new processing is that we're first finding the view file, but we can't, because we have to find the source before we can find the view if we're going to go on doc type.
Why?
Because the doc type's
God.
In the source.
Yeah.
So
I have to think about this. Wait a second. No.
Please, mind's racing.
Okay, so. Oh my. Oh yeah.
So we know the name of the request.
I don't know what I have to think about.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? We know the name of the request and something. We
it's
can't.
A good one. There's no way
we can't.
No, it is, but this is heavily always like my way of doing the naming convention to say like we add the naming convention of the doc type to a certain part of the URL and match this part of the URL and.
There's too many
doc types.
That then restricts the. We're then back to. Or are we?
No, because you're totally flexible. You can call it your doc type as you want.
Okay,
you
so
just
what
put one.
But that's that's a source doc type, not the output.
I know.
So in the location map. Right, okay. In the location map, Oh, there we go. The location map resolver.
We knew that.
The combination of the two.
The location map resolver we can have the doc tag defined some way in the location map. If we don't define it in the location map, we assume that we can find the source to get it. So there is actually a source file to look at. If there isn't one, say it's an RSS feed, then we have an attribute in the location map that says this is an RSS file.
I think what we are coming across here is it covers the weakness in this discussion that we had yesterday, that views should not really be the layer where you aggregate content.
Can you summarize the discussion about
that? Well, basically we have a discussion about should views really pull together different files? Should we go away from that one file, one request layer? And I think what this uncovers now is that we should have two layers. We should have the request layer for the file and the doc type, so we can do things like that, and we should have an aggregation layer. We need to do that.
I think I had in another thing. Basically, the point is, I remember now.
Yes.
What we could do is we could aggregate everything before, right? Aggregate all the documents, and then push this mega document inside, right? And then apply the views to this, like we're doing now. But his view is different. He has the view that is requesting different things, right?
That's the way I've been thinking as well.
That's the way he's been thinking, and that's the way we have started to move now. This is how we're doing it now, right? We have aggregated everything together. This is the way we did before. If we go this route, then we would have to specify the view and this, keep them in separate configurations and keep them up to sync.
Yeah.
But in this way, it's, you know, the doc type, of course, you know the doc types.
The thing is how internal or input plugins now work, like you do, is like the S5, you have like the namespace in the URL.
I hate it. The reason I hate it and the reason I'm getting rid of all that is because you are restricting the client URI space. And the big power of the location map is if you're not restricting the client URI space, it frees you up.
But how do we solve it? We will solve it to put it in an extension to put it as 5.xml.
That's how I've done it.
So why not using it to define a doc tag with this style of programming?
Ideally, what we want is a request defines the doc type, which is where USN doing it in the naming convention. I'm not sure that we can do that. But the pattern matching that you were talking about is what's going on in the location. So if we go...
But the pattern matching is using the naming convention to match the pattern.
Yeah, but it's not you're not restricting the naming convention. See, a naming convention says if you want it to be processed in this way, you must name it this way. Whereas what I'm proposing is if you want it to be processed in this way, stick it in the location map and tell the location map how to process it.
Perfect.
So the location map tells you which view is to be used for a particular request, which is pretty close to what you were talking about, in that the site XML should define which view is requested.
Oh, more and more linear people coming together here.
Which means you don't have an automatism on doc types.
Everything is freezing.
Well, what I'm thinking is if the location map resolves to a source line, right? So we don't think backward compatibility as well. So we have to continue doing this. We have source and we go through the pipeline. Otherwise, we break it. So we allow this. Sorry, go on.
But we have if we have a default view, then we'll get default view.
Yes, so that would give us a backward compatibility. We can take a default view and we can work forward through the thing. Now, the other case is this new case where the view is defining the content. So you can't know the doc type until you retrieve the content. So there's two possibilities. One is we know the content, in which case we just resolve it by the location map and we work the way we currently do. The other case is where we don't know how the content, we haven't got a clue where the content is, and in that instance the location map resolves to a default. The first thing that Forest does when it gets it into core is it looks at the doc type as a file it's got. One of them is content,
whatever that is, and one of them is going to be the view definition. If it's view definition, we take this new processing path, the one where we're pulling data.
I think having these two processing paths is doable, of course, but I'm not sure of that. The point is, if we change the paradigm, we're rendering a view. If we don't change it, we're rendering a source file with an associated view. I know we have to decide which of these two paradigms make sense, because with views, he says, okay, the template is the file I'm rendering. Yeah. That's what he's saying. What we've been saying till now is every request has a source file. It's different. Now he says every request has a template.
So what is wrong about saying a view is an associated with a content stream? And why can we not, on the first level, aggregate the content? Say, aggregate all the
skills.
Because
you have to know what content to
aggregate. Yeah, okay. Let's say somewhere we have to define that all the skills files go into one big skill document. At the end, we'd have a content stream that has a doc type.
Yeah,
and that could be associated with the normal patterns of...
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly how I propose doing it, but I also added the second layer, which is what we're expressing concern over, which is where you start with the source, which is our current processing model, which would work, as you said, it can be done. And exactly what you described is what I'm intending to describe with the second processing model. But the point is that we shouldn't go both routes. We should go one or the other.
Maybe not. I'm just thinking about maybe not. Maybe I have to think about it a bit, but maybe it does make sense, because you say, okay, we are rendering views. Okay, if you don't find a view, then we should say use the default view. Yeah, and the default view. Right. Get the source file back to you.
All right. What do we do? Wait. Just wait. If we don't find a page-specific view, we can open up the content.
Yeah,
have a look.
Which
is the source type?
Why should we look at the content? Yeah, no. If we say that.
Because you want to have a doc type specific.
That's what he was saying. Have these two things, or use the view if it's there, and if it's not, you see the content. But we always have views because you have a default view.
Yeah.
So you cannot say we don't have a view.
No, we have always a fallback. This is the thing. What I propose now is like we have like the page. If you don't have a page specific view, you have a look whether this doc type has a defined view. We saw this doc type specific view and rendered with that. If it's not, can find, go for the directory view. And latest on the processing pattern would be, if I don't have one in my root, I would use the one from
we're
the...
We're saying that we have or directory or doc type. We said that we could have other matches.
Wait a second. I think, Tosin, the problem in what you just described was this...
Well, the matches.
Dependency.
It's wildcard matching, isn't it? We use the
source
type
action. Because
in order
to determine the doc type, you first have to know what's...
We
put
just
together
reuse
the
sitemap.
No.
For location only, just take out the source type. The source
exists.
You have
to have a view to know what you put together.
No, because
that's all we need.
You're now requesting the document that is existing.
Aggregation would be nice.
Which don't have an existing
view
good as aggregation right now associated with it. Because you don't right now don't have a space page specific view. So what you're doing is you look in this request the document. Open it up, look whether it has a doc type definition. If it has, you will go looking for this doc type definition view. You will use it to render this actual
source file.
If it can be found,
it
will just slow down the fallback.
So all we need to do is put the source type action into the location map.
And perhaps create a new doc type.
I'm quite sure how easy that is, but...
No, it wouldn't create
which is the same as what I was describing, but rather than creating a new syntax, we're reusing sitemap logic, which feels
right,
much more comfortable.
Let's say it wouldn't create a new request doc type.
Yeah, but
a response doc type could be.
So you want your formatting to be dependent on the request doc type.
I have to go now anyway.
Don't go missing your plane.
Yeah.
But surely, it is in the end, it's...
Mail this stuff out before you go, if you can.
...by the output, what is coming up.
Problem is that
it's...
If not, don't worry about it. Mail it when you get back.
Open up the document.
No, no, wait. A request of hard means that the requester tells I want this as, right?
Yeah.
And then you cannot open up the document because the document might be something else.
No, because...
How does this sound? I wasn't listening to you, so it might be the same as what you just said. But we were just talking, if we bring in the source type action from the sitemap into the location map, then all we need to do is say, if a source exists, use it, and do the fallback process. And if the source doesn't exist, use the doc type. If the source exists, use it, find the doc type, that'll tell you what to use. If it doesn't exist, then use the fallback mechanism. Because we're reusing the sitemap syntax, we can do pattern matching as well, so we can actually change the functionality for individual requests if we need to. So we're not enforcing the user into any particular pattern. You're able to say, well, this is an unusual case. Our mirrors file is a perfect example of an unusual case that we want to process completely differently.
Why would you not go the route saying, okay, if I find a file and I can determine the doc time right away, do it as you just said. That's agreed. If I need to aggregate files to get a result document,
how would you know when you're aggregating?
Well, that's something that I do in the location bug, wouldn't
I? No. It's done in view.
Well, that was the point why I was suggesting to think about breaking this aggregation stuff out of the view, because these interdependencies will create problems all along the way.
What are we aggregating? Are we aggregating the body, or are we aggregating content that goes around the body?
Say, let's take an example. We have skill documents for our presentation.
It does, depends which.
Like, we have 10 different skill documents. We want to make them one big one. Skill.
So we're aggregating the body in that instance.
We're aggregating the body, for example. So why not do this aggregation first, and then use the data stream like we use a file. So determine doc type and stuff like that, and then...
But for me, the aggregation has to be done in an input plugin.
Right.
And I would request...
No. It doesn't do aggregation.
I would even use with my forest properties, I would aggregate like the feeder plugin, I would just request this input stream and would do it like he said.
Well,
but for me, it's just one content. This is just one content main. It's not some different document.
Yeah, that's possible. That's how it's implemented for the presentation tomorrow. That's how we've done it. It's not tomorrow, is it? Thank goodness, it's the day after.
No,
that's tomorrow. Oh, is it tomorrow?
You were yesterday.
I better finish it then.
I'll tell you when it's over. You're talking about the incident document that it will aggregation from different sources. Let's take the example of the RSS. Yeah.
I know that's a different type of aggregation because that's not content. That's stuff that goes around the content.
Is it?
Well, in most cases, it would be a news section. Obviously, you might have a news page, and so it's content. But in most cases, it will be a.
What about if you've got a page and you just go in the content, go in the middle, because you just go.
Yeah, it can be in some cases, but the reason I'm making the all right, okay, let's assume it's in the
okay,
page.
Okay, let's assume that.
Sorry,
My main concern is like, say that you got some content on an extra and some content on an RSS, yeah,
right.
And you wanted to merge together, yeah. Now, you have to aggregate those and pass it to our common media format, yeah. And the problem you see with that is now, how do you identify later, you know, back in the line, you know, what is the RSS and what is the actually normal document?
That's
the problem.
That's why I was asking the question before. Are you talking about aggregating content, or are you talking about aggregating the decoration around the content? And that, I view, although it is displayed as content, it's still aggregating stuff around and bringing different content into one. By aggregating the main body, I was talking, are we taking different parts of different files?
Yeah, that's right.
The resume is what we're looking at, CVs for job applicants is one example where you aggregate all the content and you can sort it by skill or title or whatever. And those are two.
So then what happens, what I was saying, you go on the input plugin, aggregation from different sources, and then but possibly on the output plugin, you want to have a reference to the previous one because you want to know you want to modify the style, for example, based on that document, or you want to modify if it's an RFS fit.
That's another level.
Why I was making the distinction.
This is like
I think we need to make the clear distinction of when we're aggregating content that is part of the body.
Do you have to leave now?
That is part of the decoration of the page. If it's part of the decoration, then we're able to do what you're talking about because it's individual views. If it's part of the content, then it shouldn't be displayed any different from the rest of the content. It should be consistent with the rest of the content. It doesn't matter that it's an RSS feed. It should still have the same
headings. It wouldn't surprise me if someone comes and say, hey, how do I want to change that color because this is an RSS feed?
Well, we can do it with you because he's got all his divs that give you the structure. So you say, okay, div RSS. Blah blah blah. So headings within an RSS div are displayed like this.
Does this mean that now the classes means the source of the document?
Sorry, say that again.
So then, on the div class, the name that you use, is that the source of the document?
The name you use is defined in the template in the view. It's been defined.
Thank you very much.
That's not a problem, that particular issue.
I don't think that what you said about it, if you, for example, merge an RSS feed into a page, necessarily means it has to be exactly the same.
It should be treated the same.
You should come out with a resulting content that follows a grammar, a general grammar. So the resulting document or the resulting data stream should have one DTD. How you pull that apart if you have the RSS in there with class attributes that you can format?
You're using the RSS just to do XHTML. Come on, picture.
I'm not opposed, but sure.
Well, they can take it, you can come here.
All the force guys.
We should all go.
Get us some trees.
Say
something.
Views.
No, it's got to be
Just shoot.
Shoot. It's like in Toy Story, with this green. Master.
Now, what I was saying, Ferdinand, is not that I phrased it very poorly. Not that it should appear the same. What I meant is that it should be processed the same. And views are like the content. It should not be the aggregation of content on the page should be done by input. The aggregation of decoration around the page should be done by views.
So then the OPD plugin, so what it does is just convert it to the media format.
Exactly.
So when you call RSS, then it has to be converted to HTML.
Exactly.
So which means that even though it could be done with views, that it could aggregate content from different sources in a major way, it shouldn't be used that way.
I don't think so. My feeling is that's
the pre-processing stuff that I was talking about that didn't have time. Actually, the point is, I've been talking to David. He'd like to use FORCE for reporting. That's what I'm using something else I did. I want to use FORCE too. And to do reporting, you have to pre-aggregate stuff before. For example, RSS is you have to aggregate before you use an aggregator. Or if you wanted the Java docs, you cannot just say, okay, take this Java file and skin it. You have to put the references in it. And to do that, you have to index it. And so you would need a pre-processing plugin that runs runs continuously and indexes the things. And when you render a single page, you look into that for the links. Or if you do a search, you'll have that. So all these are kind of pre-processing plugins that take the data, transform it some way, and give it to you so that you can use it for other means. Mm. And they should be able to run continuously if it's live. Yeah.
Maybe even a writable source.
We should talk about that on list when you're not rushing for a plane, because I have the same need. And I'm quite interested in what you were talking about. I've just done a system for monitoring quality control in textile manufacturing. And I reckon there's probably a lot of overlap in some of the stuff that you're doing.
I'm not doing reporting. It. I'm just thinking about it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you're thinking of doing it. And the reporting side of it is what's coming next. We've done the data collection and the continuous processing and all that.
And we
now need to focus on the processing. So that might be something that
should
bring up on the
list. Reporting in my company, but I do it completely different. I just take with JDBC the data, I create an object model, and then I use Velocity to write down the.
Right.
So it's.
I was thinking of reusing XReporter.
extra portable.
It's one of the Cocoon Dev things. I've never played with it, but it looks
good.
Yes,
I was thinking that about using extra portable for something else.
Right, we'll do this on this, shall we? Because he's got to fly off, and we'll keep him here forever otherwise. But,
I looked at it, but I'm not going to use that because actually, it's for making that kind of. I have very specialized reports.
Right.
Actually, I have some charts that are quite specialized because I hope I can show you maybe on the mailing list if I remember. Plugin, yeah. If I can remember it, basically I do a Gantt chart where inside it's something like this.
Then we go up on another topic.
So you have these charts like this, and inside I have an histogram like that that tells me the frequency. So this tells me the time, the first and the last, and these are colored and gives me the frequency of the events that are happening.
No, that's exactly what I'm going to do right now.
I have it if you want it.
Just here.
It's working.
I don't need the Gantt chart, but this part of it is exactly what I've got to do.
The frequencies.
Yeah, and this is the first stage. I've got one sensor at the moment, and this is the sensor here.
Yeah, that's what
the next thing they want to do is do an 8-sensor block, which means I'll have to do this an 8-sensor block. The same thing, but there's 8 sensors on the machine at different points in the machine.
Okay.
So this kind of layout is exactly what I need to do.
Give it to you. I don't know if it's exactly what you need, but
I'll just generalize
basically
it and make it work for me.
Basically, it's an XML file where you just say beginning, end, and each of the histogram of value, nothing else.
Right.
So as long as you write that thing, then it generates it.
And then you've got a number of things.
It generates an SVG.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, give it me. I'll generalize it and stick it in a plugin in Forest.
Actually, it's already. I think it's already in the JCharts repository.
Oh right.
In the whiteboard.
Yeah. Oh right. Oh. Actually.